Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Tomorrow in Israel, they're going to have the election for the prime minister. In America, we have the president who leads our country. In Israel, they have the prime minister. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, which you've actually seen his speech, we've had his whole speech here just recently at the U.S. Congress, has the only one that's been prime minister longer than him is Ben-Gurion, which is the first one. He was the very first prime minister there, which is, what's, if he's good, you know, leave him there. But you have, it seems that there is a whole world, as we always are seeing, coming against Israel. I mean, think about it. Israel's being surrounded at every side by the adversaries. Iran is discussing nuclear weapons, as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told us just a couple of days ago at the U.S. Congress. He also explained to us that, hey, it's not just for Israel, that these Scuds, these missiles, America's for you too. So if Iran gets these nuclear weapons, this can, you know, affect us. And so when you think about this election going on in Israel right now, tomorrow, that it will affect the world, how it turns out. You think about that and think about this. What is the heart of God here? This is the heart of God. The heart of God is for us to stand for Israel, to stand up for the people, that God's choice of leadership. And if we look at what's going on, where the world is involved in Israel's politics and they're supporting all these other candidates, it's like, what are you doing in our country? You know, why are you having, you know, why are you coming in here? I mean, you think about it. If all of a sudden your family was going to decide what you're going to have for dinner, right? And, you know, you have like, you know, five people in your family, and some stranger comes in and starts saying, you know, I think you ought to have fried chicken tonight, right? You're going to say, who are you? You know, you're not part of the family. Or if they start paying off one of the members of the family who wanted pizza and they say, tell them we want fried chicken. I mean, you're thinking, they're not part of the family. What are you even doing here? But when it comes to Israel, so many people start thinking like, you know, what's the big deal? The big deal is that they're not part of Israel. They shouldn't be involved in those elections. So we need to pray, because their plans, based on what we're seeing by their fruit, Jesus said, you know them by the fruit. Their outcome for Israel is not good. You hear the goal of what's going on. They have a desire to harm Israel. And what we want, you know, is God's choice of leadership over Israel. We want Israel protected. We want the Jewish people to be protected. You know, we stand up for God and country in that order with VFN TV and for Israel. We're friends with Israel, and God's heart is for us to be friends. And in the very end, at the very end of all times, in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, God's going to gather all the nations. And you know what he's going to judge us on? You know, what we did to the Israel's land and what we did to the Jews. Think about it. Whose side are you on? This is not a political thing. This is a God thing. As a matter of fact, think about this. The reports are, from some reports coming out of Israel, that the people, the Jewish people, or the people in Israel, they don't make up their mind for who they're going to vote for in the up to the last 48 hours. In other words, the last 48 hours, which is between today and tomorrow, they're going to decide on who is going to be the prime minister of Israel. And I'm asking you, as a matter of fact, I'm asking you, begin to pray for Israel. Pray for the elections. Pray for God's choice of person over this land. And to, from the outside looking in, and it's, you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been the man of the hour and has stood before the whole world standing up defending the cause of Israel. And by the way, defending the cause of America and the American Constitution. Look at this from CBN News.
In an election that features 26 parties, even the pollsters are confused.
If you will ask you who's going to be the next prime minister, I'm going to tell you I don't know.
We do know that the next prime minister is likely to be Benjamin Netanyahu or Labor Party leader Isaac Herzog. Either man could be asked to form a government after next Tuesday. In recent elections, a whopping one-third of voters decided in the last 48 hours. 18% say they're undecided this year.
Netanyahu is now Israel's second longest serving prime minister. If he wins another term, he would almost pass Israel's founder and national icon David Ben-Gurion. And that's just one of the reasons his political enemies, both here and around the world, are desperate to stop him.
Last weekend in Tel Aviv, tens of thousands of Israeli leftists gathered for an anyone but Bibi rally. strengthened by strong financial support from overseas and the blessing of Israeli and foreign media, some of Netanyahu's opponents call him a bigger danger to the world than Iran. They accuse him of poisoning the relationship with the United States and hurting Israel's economy. David Parsons of the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem has closely followed the past 8 national elections.
There's been this attempt to create the, you know, things are collapsing with Bibi in office, this impression that the country's falling apart and we got to get rid of him.
Still, with some polls showing Netanyahu's Likud party trailing, nearly every poll shows voters prefer him as prime minister to Herzog, who heads a coalition of the left. Rafi Smith says that because Israelis don't have hope for an Arab peace partner, they've turned inward to look at issues like the high cost of food and housing.
There's total distrust with the Arabs here. Okay, everybody sees everybody around us. They don't like us. We have no partner. We have nothing to go, no one to talk to. So let's go inside to more internal problems.
In the closing days, though, voters may return to security concerns. Even most of Netanyahu's opponents don't refute the threat to Israel's existence posed by Iran and radical jihadists. Parsons says it's a critical time for Christians everywhere to pray for Israel.
We can pray, Lord, let your man rise to power in here, the one that you want to lead Israel over coming years, because this is a very momentous time, especially with the Iranian nuclear threat looming. We need Christians all over the world praying for this nation.
John Waggy, CBN News, Jerusalem.
So you're looking at right here, what the reports are is they realize that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is the one that's going to keep our national security there. They're going to take care of it. They realize that. But they're deciding also on internal things happening inside of Israel. But it's like, if you don't worry about your skin, it doesn't matter what's going to happen to your organs. I mean, you're going to have protection. We're seeing that happen in America. It's like, who's watching our borders? Who's watching over our country? And all of a sudden, we had this huge influx of you know, millions of folks, it looks like, but reportedly were 500,000, according to Kamal Saleem, a radical jihadist came over our southern border with Qum Ministries. He was telling us about this. And when you look at this, and we're going to break this down after this break, but realize this, that when Israel responds, and that's what he was telling us when he came to the Congress, he says, we got to stand alone, we're going to stand alone. We're going to deal with this nuclear threat that's trying to take away our country, destroy Israel. Well, to take him out of office and say, okay, then just go ahead and have this nuclear threat and push us into the sea. I mean, I don't think Israel's going to do that. And so you're looking at, and by the way, I believe it was Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu who called this election. I mean, you can just call the elections and like, just have one. Because he wanted to get everybody an agreement moving in one direction so that Israel can stand. And by the way, Israel's going to stand. God's going to protect Israel. The question is, where are we going to stand when it comes to Israel? And the heart of God is this. God, this is what God says, His Word says. He says it in Ezekiel. He says that He looks for a man amongst them to stand in the gap so He doesn't have to destroy the land. When you think about, you know, with Abraham, and Abraham, he knew he had the heart of God in regards to this because when God was going to start dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah, God looked for a man, Abraham, and Abraham began to stand in the gap. When you look at this whole remnant people called the Moravian people, if it wasn't for these Moravians we're going to talk about today, they stood in the gap, and some of the fruit, it's all over the world what they did, and America is part of that fruit. It makes a difference. I want to encourage you. We're going to break, but I want to just now write this down and say, you know what? This is not just going to be a broadcast. I'm going to pray for Israel. I'm going to intercede. I want to be a part of standing for Israel.
Two young Moravians heard of an island in the West Indies where an atheist British owner had 2,000 to 3,000 slaves. And the owner had said, no preacher, no clergyman will ever stay on this island. If he's shipwrecked, we'll keep him in a separate house until he has to leave. But he's never going to talk to any of us about God. I'm through with all that nonsense. 3,000 slaves from the jungles of Africa brought to an island in the Atlantic, and there to live and die without hearing of Christ. Two young Moravians heard about it. They sold themselves to the British planter and used the money they received from the sale, for he paid no more than he would for any slave, to pay their passage out to his island, for he wouldn't even transport them. And as the ship left the river at Hamburg, left its pier in the river at Hamburg, and was going out into the North Sea, carried with the tide. The Moravians had come from Herrnhut to see these two lads off in the early 20s, never to return again, for this wasn't a four-year term. They'd sold themselves into lifetime slavery, simply that as slaves they could be as Christians, for these others were. The families were there weeping, for they knew they'd never see them again. And they wondered why they were going and questioned the wisdom of it. And as the gap widened and the houses had been cast off and were being curled up there on the pier, and the young boys saw the widening gap, one lad with his arm linked through the arm of his fellow raised his hand and shouted across the gap the last words that were heard from them. They were these: "May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." And this became the core of Moravian mission. And this is the only reason for being, that the lamb that was slain may receive the reward of his suffering.
That's our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That is our whole purpose. That's what we're called to live for. You know, Paul said, I would give my own salvation. That's what he said. That's for the Jews to be saved. I mean, think about that. For his brothers to be saved. And right now, we can't even get folks to stand up and just pray for the nation of Israel to be saved. We got people partnering with people who are trying to destroy Israel, who want to push them into the sea, and they're jesting about it. And Paul was letting us know. I mean, read Romans chapter 11. Understand, he said, if you get prideful, if you get boastful, do you think if God didn't spare the natural branches, he's not going to spare you? That's what he said. He said, if the first ones got removed, the original ones got removed, you can get removed too. But he said, if they got removed and you got planted in, can they not be grafted back in again? This whole thing is about God telling his awesome love and kindness and mercy. This is not political at all. This is not about Islam or Buddhism or some political party or Alinsky or Rules for Radicals. This is about a loving God taking us all to the point to bring back what Paul prayed would happen. Can we actually get back to Israel? I mean, he tried to get back to Israel to Lord Fon. He said, listen, I'm calling you to the Gentiles. And he's like, but I want them to be saved. And how that's going to happen, you know, Paul's wishes are going to come to pass when we wake up and realize we're supposed to be the Gentiles getting saved to be able to come back and bless Israel and pray for Israel and watch God's full circle take place. And let me tell you, we are so close to that day. We were so close to that day. I mean, think about all the nations that are surrounding Israel right now. Think about it. It's like, what have we been focusing on? I mean, think about it. If the Moravian people, their first two missionaries they sent out, and we're going to have a little bit more about them afterwards, they said, listen, we're going to sell ourselves into slavery so that we can get there to them and live as a Christian in their presence so that we can win them. And we can't even send missionaries down the street, you know what I'm saying? We have to begin to wake up, and now's the time to begin to stand for Israel, pray for them. The elections is tomorrow, and one way you can begin to reach out, like Romans chapter 11, begin to reach out, say, dear God, I didn't realize that. Now I realize that. I pray for the protection and the peace of Israel. And dear Lord, give Israel the leader that you want that will protect Israel. But we ask this in Jesus' name. Yes, we are days, moments, hours away now from Israel making a decision that, you know, reports are that most people in Israel realize that to have Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as the prime minister means we're going to be protected from all these things, these threats to them as a nation, as a people. And there's 40 candidates, reports are, 40 candidates reported by CBN running for prime minister, and they're saying people from around the world are getting involved in their elections. And so there's so much trouble going on in Israel right now that the people, they're concerned is they don't know whether to be focused on the inward problem or the outward problem. Guess what? This is America's future problem, and it's coming to us soon. Yeah, are we going to forget about our Constitution? Are we going to forget about our national security? Are we going to forget about our national interests? And say, you know, put this person in office because they'll make sure we get schools and jobs and stuff, and we'll just give up our whole nation, because to not vote for someone in Israel that, you know, whoever that is, I don't know who they're going to, God's man to be there, God's person, is the fact that if you're not thinking national security, It doesn't matter what happens inside your nation because you're not going to have one.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And so the reports are, according to CBN News, is that they're aware to keep our current prime minister means our nation's going to be safe, but they're having all these inner struggles. Guess what? You know, Rules for Radicals talks about stir up so much trouble on the inside that they forget about the outside. I mean, that's the whole tactics that are going on. And so, you know, what is standing in the gap? How significant is standing the gap? When I think about the Moravian people, they were basically a remnant of, you know, God's folks, 24 of them, and they were rejected, you know, by the religion. The best thing that could ever happen to you is be rejected by religious captives who, you know, have fallen into the kingdoms of this world and are no longer walking in the kingdom of God, you know, because then, you know, it's not as confusing for you anymore. You know, you can read theology, you read the Bible, and you can go, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Without a ruler.
Without a ruler. And so, you know, with that, the... And so you had 24 people that just came together. Zinzendorf allowed them to be on their property, but they're basically on some, you know, like Israel was sitting in Goshen, just on somebody else's land. But these 24 people, you know, changed the world as we know it. They began to stand in the gap, and they affected the globe. They affected the globe. Matter of fact, take a look at this right here, 318.
It began in 1727. A band of refugees united together to pray. Led by a German nobleman who preached a heart religion in contrast to the cold and intellectual emphasis of his day. 24 men and 24 women determined that the flame of prayer should burn at the heart of their community. They divided themselves to pray in succession around the clock. It lasted for 100 years. The Moravian prayer meeting propelled over 3,000 missionaries to the ends of the earth, some even selling themselves into slavery. They went with one anthem: may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering.
You think about that. You know, the big question is, you know, about standing in the gap. So often, because of our struggle with ourselves, is, am I willing to stand in the gap for others? Because a lot of people, you know, our struggle is thinking that, you know, I want to stand in the gap for America, for the church in America, so I have a better job, so I have a better community, so I have a better nation, versus, you know, to be able to live, to be able to pass to the next generation, you know. You know, and I guess the big thing is this: standing in the gap is, are we willing? Do we want to stand in the gap for the will of God, which could take, you know, one or two generations, like the Moravians? Or are we going to stand in the gap for only our generation? In other words, I want to see that fruit in this generation. I'm not willing to do the work of what takes place. And what I think about, you know, Dutch Sheets when he talks about that. John, talk to us about, you know, Dutch. We had on the program.
When we had that sheet, she talked about an appeal to heaven and about the evergreen tree.
Remember, you're probably seeing the flag right now. This is the flag.
Right. And this is an agreement that was made with the Indians and some of the first settlers. And my understanding about the evergreen tree is that it takes 100 years to actually grow to its fruition. I mean, it doesn't just happen overnight.
It just doesn't happen. It, all of a sudden, yeah, it got to be
100 whoever
years.
Plants one doesn't even really expect to see it in their generation. They're really planting that tree for the next
generation.
And if
you do, you got to need glasses. You got to feel like Braille or something.
Right.
Your eyes are
right.
Going out by
right.
That.
So the significance is that, are we willing to continue to invest everything we have for God, pray, walk the things out the
Lord
is leading
us to? But John, the problem with that, it just seems selfless.
Imagine that. Isn't that the idea?
But we're not being taught that. We're not, no. There's no, we're actually, is that, that's almost like taught as something not of God.
Mm-hmm.
That the things that are being taught is, you pray about, you live for, and you the scriptures that you find are things that give you stuff and that
sure.
makes your life
immediately.
Better.
To confirm how religious you are, how close you are with God, because obviously he heard your prayer and there it is, it manifested.
Why the next generation has no shade because there are no trees.
No.
And the Moravians, you think they prayed for 100 years. 100 years. You know, we were walking out ourselves, a prayer community, and We're working on one day. I mean, we've been, how long has it been?
5 years.
5 years. And we've grown off the wisdom of that from International House of Prayer, Mike Bickle in Kansas City. And it's like, I mean, it's an amazing thing. And without that, you know, we wouldn't even be here because this birth, BFNTV birth on a prayer watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were on a prayer watch. And God just spoke to me plain as day. And the one thing he's telling me, he says, there's a people. There's a people and you got to get to them. Because there's a lot of religious people, but there's a people like the Moravians who want God, who understand that you just lay down your life, that you're just living for their cause. To be a missionary today, people just like, they make it like big shots. It's like, no, we're all supposed to be missionaries.
Right.
We're just all supposed to be doing this. It's not, the whole family's supposed to be doing this.
That's right.
You know, the people, you know, it's like, this is the man of the cloth. And I was like, that's Tarzan. First of all, hopefully we're all clothed.
Yeah.
And we all have cloths.
Yeah. Everyone's if you're a believer, everyone's a minister because the highest form of a minister is a servant. He serves others.
So if you want to be the greatest person, then he says to be the servant of all.
That's right.
You think about that. And so what I look at is I look at Abraham, the father of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham heard the Lord, and he just responded to what God said. And God just said, get up and go, and I'll show you. And he went. That was a 25-year journey. And God began to just, you know, show himself to Abraham. It was an amazing thing because God taught him. The Word of God says that the angels have come down to be able to look at the cities, two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angels talk about, hey, you know, we've taught him. We should tell them what's going on.
Hmm.
Isn't that amazing? And one of the verses talk about, you know, we've already, you know, he's already been taught about this. We probably should let him know why we're here, you know. And so they tell him, say, listen, there's this city. It's God's getting word of the city that it's had a lot of sins. By the way, there's more than one sin going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was gluttony and greed and idolatry and just narcissism and every kind of sexual sin you can imagine. It was just total fleshed out, you know, and the word was that it's so full, it's just got to destroy it. And so they were going to go check it out. And so they share with Abraham, hey, this is the report. This is the report. We're going to go check it out. Just wanted you to know this. And God will often do this. And right now you're looking at America. You're looking at Iraq. You're looking at, when you think about Iraq, this northern city called Mosul, that city is Nineveh, by the way. That's Nineveh. And God sent Jonah to Nineveh. So when you hear Mosul, think about this. ISIS headquarters is in Nineveh. And Jonah was a lot like a lot of folks today. They're saying like, you know, they don't, you know, they just destroy that city, you know. And God's going, no, I love the Arab people in Mosul. I love Miriam, who's in that camp for 4 months. I love the people there.
Mm.
And Jonah's going, it's ISIS. You know, they don't deserve it. And they're saying, I mean, you think about it, it's today's argument. And he was running from God. He's going like, I don't want to go preach the gospel to them. You know, gospel. I don't want to go tell them about your goodness that you want to forgive them. I don't want them forgiven. And that's what he was saying. I don't want them forgiven. This is the story about Jonah and the well. Hello. And that's Nineveh. Mosul is Nineveh, the headquarters of ISIS. And the city was so bad, Nineveh was so bad at that time, that God was going to totally destroy it. So it is as bad as it is now, or way worse, maybe. I don't know, because God hadn't destroyed the city yet. And the prince of Nineveh has been killed, by the way, in this last month or so. That should be a huge sound to all of us to realize. Right. And Jonah just had an attitude, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And finally, it came to a point when he got on this ship and he was taken off saying, you know, I've got this job now. I forgot about that call on my life, you know, and I'm busy making money, doing my thing and all this kind of stuff. He's on this boat and the storm gets so bad. It gets so bad that the people who didn't want to do this, they did not want, it wasn't in them to take the church out of America and make the church preach to America. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't in them to take Jonah and throw them out of the boat. Because Jonah said, that's me. You know, I didn't stand for Israel. I didn't walk before God. It's not you. Because he told me, he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God would heal America, but I didn't turn, you know. And it's like, throw me out of the country, you know, throw me off the boat. And it wasn't in them to do it, but it got so bad that God says, you know, God touched these guys on these boats and says, like, chunk them. Hmm. And they threw the church in the water. They threw the answer in the water. They threw the Jewish minister in the storm, threw him right in the middle of the storm. And I'm sure he's probably like splashing around going like, ah, as long as I'm not in Nineveh, I'm fine with that. It's crazy. They're cutting off heads. They're, you know, it's crazy over there right now. And then a whale swallows him. And while he was in the belly of all the consequences of the storm that was raised up, guess what? He says, you know, I was thinking about going to Mosul and telling them that God loves you and God's got a plan for you. I want to go to Nineveh. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And God, whale just goes, spits him out on the beach or whatever. And he goes to Nineveh. He preaches it. God extends the time for the judgment that was coming to Nineveh, to Mosul, if you would. And so he could get and cover the whole city and preach to them. This is how God works. You got to tell people about God. You got to tell them that he loves them. And they all heard, this evil city, bent for destruction, all heard. And when they all heard, they repented. God relented. He said, never mind, I'm not going to destroy this city. And they lived a righteous city, a right city for 40 years. Nineveh, Mosul did that. Listen, church, do we want them to throw us out of this nation into the storm so we'll wake up and do what we're supposed to do, or do we want to just do it right now, right?
That's right.
We're all called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So think about that. You know, we're just talking about, you know, God was so in love with Mosul, which was Nineveh. I mean, he was upset with them. He's going to bring, you know, destroy the city. But he wanted to give them a chance. We totally underestimate the mercies of God. He's so good. And when we heard Miriam the other day, and man, I wish we had that thing. We're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch. You got to see her talk. But her viewpoint is amazing. Life is just too good. Too good for the American church. It's just too good. Mm. It's just too good. I mean, it's just too good. We don't even understand that it's good. And think about this. Begin to believe God for this, because being in America, we're the wealthiest nation in the world.
In the world.
Begin to say, God, you know, when you tell us the golden rule is to, you know, love others as we love ourselves, right? So if you buy yourself a cup of coffee, buy someone else a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you buy yourself a dress, buy somebody else a dress. Don't, you know, buy your dress new and then give somebody else the old dress. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do that too, but you see, but you're going to love them the way you love yourself, you would actually get them addressed too.
Mm-hmm.
Or better than that, think about this. Begin to believe God. Say, God, everything you give me, I want to begin to live my life and believe that you're going to give me enough where I can give away 50% of what you give me. I'm not going to break it down to a dress or pencil or a piece of food. I'm at 50% of my increase that I just want to sow it in the lives of others for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. I mean, think about that. I mean, why think you give and God's going to give it to you? I mean, it's just what happens. But begin to live life like that. But the crazy thing is the opposite's happening. It's like the more people get, the less they give. I mean, you look at some of the people that were running for political office, and they're you know.
Well, it's true in stats. I mean, George Barna reports that the higher income that people make, $70,000 and above, they tithe 2% of their income. The people, right. Yeah, it's like,
yeah, you give me $1 million and I'm gonna be faithful. God's going, hey, yeah, right. Just handle the $5 right now.
That's right.
But think about it. So we can begin to love others, and the thing about it is, if we love Nineveh the way God loves Nineveh, we love the people in Mosul the way God loves the people in Mosul. If we look past the storm that the enemy's stirring up and see human beings who just need to hear it, people have not even heard the right viewpoint of Jesus Christ, that God gave his son. They heard about him. So when they hear the name Jesus, they think he's a prophet and he has to repent for calling himself. They talk well of him after he repents for calling himself the Son of God. This is Islam. Well, and so when they hear Jesus, they think of that way. They even believe Jesus heals, but they believe he has to repent for calling himself the Son of God, which is the anti-Jesus Christ religion. So when we actually introduce someone to the true gospel, understand their, imagine the response in their life. And we saw just some of that just recently. I mean, God is—it's amazing what the Lord is doing. But so we got to begin to have, you know, I want to give my life. I want to give some of my time. I want to pray for Israel. I don't want to just sit back and watch life like it's a movie. I want to participate. And this is the thing, John. Somebody says, you know, why are you doing this? Well, it's because we want you to respond. You know, this is it's not for us.
No.
You know, I love Jesus.
We
man.
Would be doing something yeah. else.
Yeah. No. Although, you know, I love Jesus. I love Israel.
That's right.
And we may be in the IDF, or at least I would probably. Or Pat would. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Pat, yeah. I think it was me and you over there with the IDF. Anyway, but it's so that you would awake. Somebody says, why do you continue to say that? Because we want you to wake up. It may appear like you're watching a movie, but we're authentic people. The BB's authentic person. You know, Miriam, she's 8 years old. We just showed you she's authentic. She's a real human being. The boy that just shot the man in the name of Islam, radical Islam. He was a 7-year-old real human being. The pilot that was burned to death in Jordan, he's a real human being. And it was like, we got to have that Jonah mindset. Mm-hmm. And we got to get the second Jonah mindset that got. And guess what's going to happen? It wasn't in them to throw Jonah out the boat. But they knew, and everybody knew, if we don't get these people who are not following God out of here, this boat's going down. And so you can get angry at the people that throw us over. Or you can repent before God and say, God, I should have had your heart all along. I should have lived my life the way that you said. And that's what I sense right now. You know, America's afloat. There is no oars. There is no ropes tying it to shore.
Yeah.
And, you know, in regards to where it's going right now, it's on the edge. It's on the edge. Only an arrogant man would tell you that America's future is guaranteed. God knows the future of America. And there could be 70 years of some intense struggling. And so, but it's like on the edge of a precipice, on the edge of a cliff. It's not falling. People want to push it. They can't push it because God's not letting them push it. But he's letting us dangle over the edge of this balcony to go, hello, Jonah. This is not about you, Jonah. Jonah was carrying on. It's hot. You know, this all these kind of stuff. It was all about him, you know. And it's like, understand this. See yourself as Jonah because we are Jonah. And there's a whole segment we're going to make available just called We Are Jonah. You're Jonah. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you are a Jonah. And guess what? Your boat's rocking. The whole ship's rocking. America's rocking. But at some point, even though it's not in them to do this, God may have them chunk us overboard so that we'll wake up, get done with the belly time of the well, and come back and preach the goodness and the love of God so that our Savior, the Lamb of God, may receive his reward. That's what it's all about. Let's just pray right now for Israel. Those elections are tomorrow.
Yes.
Let's stand in the gap. It makes a difference. Look what 24 Moravians did. Father God, we lift up Israel.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for the peace and protection of Israel. God, we pray for all this confusion and chaos that's been stirred up in Israel by the outsiders outside of Israel, that you would remove that and you bring clarity to people's hearts, clarity to their minds. Focus on who you want to be the leader of Israel, Father God. And I pray for the peace and protection and, like Paul, the salvation of the Jews. Father God, we come against and turn on itself every plan that would want to come against Israel, that you would turn it back on them, Father God. And those, Father God, like Miriam and all scattered throughout the Middle East, Father God, we pray for their souls, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive them and you would turn them around like you turn around Nineveh, God. Give us your heart for mankind, Father God, and help us begin to love people the way that we love ourselves, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.